Bible. Thank the Lord. What a great day we've had in the Lord. What a great week, that's for sure.
And we want to thank you, each one, for your kind words. And most of my brothers, nobody says anything nice to me, and I don't care. And so anyway, but I appreciate you so much, all the kindnesses. Brother Joe, where are you at? Where's Joe at? What's up with your hair, man, by the way? You look like some kind of like Dagwood haircut thing going on back there. But we love Brother Joe, and we had a good lunch with him the other day and ate meat. That's what men do, amen? Can I get an amen? We eat meat. We shoot guns, we eat meat, and we love Jesus, amen. And so praise the Lord. Your pastor has been a great host to us, and we love him very much, and we love you, Loomis Park Baptist Church. We mean that. You're God's children, and we love you and care for you and thank God for you. Take your Bibles and go to Hebrews chapter 12, please. Hebrews in chapter 12. I preached out of this chapter last Monday night as well. And Hebrews 12 is an amazing, momentous chapter in the Bible. Without any kind of even just thinking about it, you know it's true. Chapter 11, of course, the great hall of faith. And then Jesus, the scripture saying about being so compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Amen. Thank God for these wonderful words. And I need to give you some admonition tonight from the Word of God. I would submit to you, beloved, and the reason I preach this message from the Word of God is because it's my contention and my belief that bitterness is one of the most damaging and damning and soul-ruining cancers that racks the saint and ruins the sinner. It racks us from top to bottom. It eats us alive. I would submit to you tonight, without even knowing any of your stories, I would say that fully more than 50% of the people in this room, I don't even know your life, I don't know your story, but everybody in this room either is under the root of bitterness and under the weight of bitterness, or you're being damaged by it because of someone else. That's a fact. The Bible's true about that. And I want to help you tonight, beloved, because everybody has to deal with this. Everyone, and there's never going to be a revival in our Christian life. There's never going to be a movement and a moving of God in our life. We're never going to move and be moved by God until we get rid of bitterness. Things that people have done to us, things that have destroyed us. And as I've been a preacher these nearly 40 years, I've observed some bitternesses that have destroyed the saint and taken away the joy of God's children. And not only that, the tragedy of that is that what it does to us as Christians, look at me, it dooms the sinner as well. Because what it does, it negates our witness for God. I'll tell you right now, if you're a bitter Christian, you don't witness. If you're a bitter Christian, you don't give out the gospel. I promise you, you don't. And most of the time, you're more of a wet blanket in the local church than you are a blessing. Most of the time, I'm a pastor, and I love you, and I'm not up here to damage you and hurt you. I'm a pastor. I've been a pastor a long time. And I'm saying to you, beloved, the thing that will destroy the work of God and keep souls from walking down this aisle and keep a coldness and a frigidity in the local church is bitterness in the saints of Almighty, God's almighty saints. Hebrews chapter 12, go ahead and stretch your legs a moment, please. Let's honor the Word of God, verses 14 and 15. Take a deep breath now. Buckle your seatbelts, okay? It's not going to be a nice and sweet little sermon. I wish I had one of those. I haven't preached one of those in a long time because we as God's children need to be bucked up. Amen? We need a good swift kick in the backside. It's what we need as God's children. We need it. I'm telling you, the person who needs it the most right here in this room tonight is the dude that's preaching. So let God help you. Chapter 12, Hebrews, verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now notice the punctuation after Lord. It's a colon, meaning, of course, that the thought continues. It just connects to verse 14. Following, of course, it goes, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Father in heaven, please help me. Help your people, and I'll thank you for what you're going to do. Holy Spirit of God, do what only you can do tonight. And may you be glorified, Jesus, in the midst of it all. In Jesus' sweet name, amen and amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Bitterness destroys preachers. Bitterness destroys deacons. Bitterness destroys Sunday school teachers and church people. Bitterness destroys the rich and the poor. As a preacher myself and as a pastor, it's hard sometimes to keep from being bitter when you know that you've been talked about by family and maybe by friends and by church members and somebody that doesn't support the work of God and somebody that's hindered the things that you've tried to do with the local church. And maybe as a preacher, you've been lied about in your ministry or your message has been attacked. And even worse than that, maybe your family has been attacked. Again, I say to you, in my short, nearly 40 years of preaching the Word of God, I've seen this and more than I've ever wanted to see. I've seen this in the local church. And I submit to you, my beloved, life can be rough and it is rough. Say amen right there. Life can be rough and it is rough. And sometimes, beloved, it seems as completely and absolutely unfair. And it seems hard to stay sweet and loving in this world of iniquity and woe that we live in. But in verse 15, the Bible says that bitterness, it springs up in us. It springs up. The Bible declares from that word picture that it's deep inside until one day it explodes in all of its wretchedness and all of its vomituousness, if there is such a word, all of its horrendousness. Bitterness can't be hidden very long. And I'm here to tell you tonight, some would claim maybe in their heart, well, preacher, I'm not bitter against anybody. And boy, then we remember that God knows our heart and God knows what we do. And He always gets our sin to float out to the surface. Numbers 32:23 is in the Bible, and be sure your sin will find you out. The Bible declares in Proverbs 14 and verse number 10 that the heart knoweth its own bitterness. The heart knoweth its own bitterness. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 23, about the Bible talking about two people that were in the local church that were in sin and people that were in the work of the Lord, that they were in the gall of bitterness. This Simon the sorcerer, he wasn't right with God and he let bitterness ruin him and ruin his life. I want you to see tonight, beloved, very quickly, the causes of bitterness. If we're going to deal with bitterness, and if you're going to deal with your own personal bitterness, we better take inventory, and we better look at what's going on with us. And the Bible says in verse 15 of the text that we read, looking diligently, lest any man. That's a generic term, of course. It means anybody in the local church, anybody in the world. Listen to me. Bitterness can and it will happen to anyone. I want you to keep this word in your mind, any. That word any, because literally, beloved, I'm telling you, anything can cause bitterness. Anything can cause anger and bitterness in our hearts and lives. Consider with me positional failures. Times in our lives when not getting a position in maybe in the church or in the world that we think we should have gotten. Many times men in local churches get their nose bent out of shape because they don't get chosen to be a deacon. Or maybe somebody doesn't get to be a teacher or a leader or this thing or that thing. I'm telling you, bitterness and disappointments, that is. Disappointment can make you bitter. Disappointment can make you angry when you really have no right to be angry. Disappointment can turn you into a bitter person from a sweet person. I'm telling you right now, don't seek to be a deacon. Don't seek to be a leader. Don't even seek to be a pastor. Brother James writes in chapter 3 and verse 1, he said, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that he shall receive the greater condemnation. Listen, beloved, hear me. If you're going to do something for the work of God and in the name of God, he's got some pretty high expectations about how things ought to be done. Say amen. If God chooses you to do something, then in the name of the Lord and the most holy God, make sure you get it done. But don't seek to do something just to have a name on a paper or a position in a church. I submit to you as well, many times in the local church we find parental failures that cause bitterness. Sometimes in our lives our kids go wrong and they get messed up and they go out into sin and they go out away from serving God, and parents will get bitter at that child and bitter at the local church because perhaps they think in their mind that the church didn't do enough to help them. Maybe the youth director didn't call on them enough. In their perception, and make no mistake about it, look at me, perception is reality. Whatever you perceive something to be, whatever you think in your brain, that's what your reality is, whether it's the real thing or not. And people get bent out of shape at churches sometimes because they don't think their church or their pastor or even God himself did enough to help their children. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 17 and verse number 25 that a foolish son is a grief to his father and a bitterness to her that bare him. Oh, listen to these words tonight, beloved. I'm telling you, it'll help you if you'll consider these truths. I'm saying as well, sometimes rejection will cause bitterness in our lives. When people get rejected of family or of friends, and it seems even by the world itself, we get rejected by people, men and women, and husband and wives who reject one another because of some past experience with the opposite sex, or maybe some childhood problems that they take into their adulthood. We use that word dysfunctional family so loosely today. And it's such an overused word, I'm telling you. I want you to understand, friend, we need to take responsibility for our lives. We need to take responsibility for what we do. You seem like we want to give excuses for the way we are. Take responsibility for things. Let God help you. Stir up your own gift of remembrance of the Word of God. Let the Word of God change your life. Let it be the balm of Gilead to your soul. Let God do something for you. And the Bible declares that we as husbands we ought to love our wives and be not bitter against them. Oh, listen, gentlemen, treat your wives with kindness and mercy. Yes, treat them with goodness and godliness. Don't be bitter against them. Maybe they burnt the fried chicken, and that's a sin that had not to be ever forgiven. Can I get an amen? But man, in the name of the Lord, don't be bitter against your wife and lady just because your husband doesn't pick his socks up and put them in the hamper. Let me tell you how I take off my socks. I put my heel on one toe and go, boop. I put my heel on the other toe and go, boop, and go, walking home. How many other in the room do that? God's listening. There you go. You bunch of heathens, I'm telling you right now. Hey, listen, beloved, I'm trying to get a little levity because I know this is a heavy message. But in the name of the Lord, we do all kinds of things to one another. I mean, you got a man and a woman in this room and spend their lives 2 feet away. Can you imagine how bitter some people must be in a car driving down the road for thousands of miles 2 feet away? I'm still writing a song about that. Listen now, let's get back to this. Hey, I think sometimes sickness and tragedy come into our lives and make us bitter. I've seen so many tonight that have been bitter at God because of some sickness or some hardship that's hit their home and their family, and then we accuse God of being unfair. I love what the preacher said the other night, the young man up here talking about his brain tumor, how that he said, indeed, why not me? I can remember hearing our father say that in the throes of his wretched disease that he dealt with. I got to be honest with you. There's been a time recently that I've looked at God and I said, Lord, you know, I'm trying to serve you and you've let me have this cancer and I've had this going on and I've got this physical issue and this thing has happened to me because of this and Lord, I don't like it and I don't want it and I don't want this to go on. And I'm going to tell you something, beloved. It's okay to not like things. It's okay to not want something to happen to you. But beloved, if God brings it to you, he's got to give you the grace to bring it through with you through it. I'm telling you, he can do that for you. And sorrow, sometimes it'll be the thing that'll knock bitterness right out of you. If you're sitting here tonight and you're bitter, I'm telling you, God will knock it out of you if you won't take it out of yourself. Are you listening to me? Some of you are sitting here now and you're full up of this garbage. You're filled with it. You say, preacher, you don't have the right to judge me. You're right, I'm not judging you, but I'm going to tell you right now, I know human nature a little bit. And you're dealing with some things, beloved. I don't know you. Your pastor's too much of a gentleman, and we wouldn't let him do it to us anyway, but he's too much of a gentleman to speak any evil of you. He thinks you're the greatest people in the world. I know that's not true. Greatest people in the world are in Independence, Missouri. You know what? They're a bunch of redneck Missourians, amen? And you're a bunch of redneck Michiganians, or Michiganders, or whatever you want to call yourselves. I'm just telling you, beloved, if you're a person that's full of bitterness and full of unforgiveness and you've got this garbage going on in your life, God's fixing to knock you upside the head and get that junk out of you. Tragedy will bring it to you. Maybe some kind of bad dealing in your life. Somebody beat you out of some money that you expected that they shouldn't have done that. Can I tell you something, beloved? Don't be lending money to people anyway. The Bible says if somebody wants money and needs money from you, give it to them and don't expect an usury and don't expect it back. And if you're not going to do that, keep the money in your pocket and keep the problem to yourself. I'm saying to you, some of you got beat out of some money by some business dealing or some church family or some relative or something, and you've been chewing on that like a stinking piece of gristle. It's stuck between your teeth. It's stuck in your craw. It's still there, and God the Holy Spirit is talking to you about it right now. You better get rid of it. Criticism sometimes will do this to you. I know some people that have criticized you, and if you know people that criticize you and criticize your church and criticize your family, I'm telling you, that can make you bitter. Usually there's something wrong, beloved. It is when a certain person's name is mentioned. Listen to me now. There's something wrong when a certain person's name is mentioned and all you can think about is ways you'd like to kill him and bury him in a wood somewhere. Come on. Now, I know you visitors from heaven and never think that way, but I have. I'm not joking. You think I'm lying? I'm not. I'm preaching, man. I'm telling you what. Let me tell you something. Bitterness is hatred. And hatred is murder, according to our Jesus.
That's right.
Amen? Now look at me like that. I'm not a worse sinner than you. I'm probably worse than you. Probably so. But I'm telling you what. You're as big a sinner as I am. And I'm telling you right now, if you don't get rid of this garbage, you don't get rid of that stuff, it's going to eat you alive and everybody around you. It's going to eat them alive. Now, let me tell you about the course of this. Verse 15, I'm hurrying. I know some of you are mad at me right now. I don't want you to be mad at me. I love you. Would you please consider what I'm telling you? I love you. I love God's people. I love God's people. I am so tired of dealing with people that are just bitter. Man, they sit in our offices, Pastor. They sit in our offices. We meet them at the door. You talk to them and you try to talk to them about Jesus. And, you know, I pastor a church. I pastor a church where a pastor murdered somebody. The pastor before me was a whoremongering murderer. Well, I'll tell you the story sometime if you really want to hear it. It's too salacious really to talk about in the family of God. But it's awful. And I can't tell you how many times I've been out door knocking in Kansas City metro area, and somebody has said to me, I'll not be at that church because of what happened there. And they had no part of it. But yet they're bitter about it. Beloved, hear me. This is the course of bitterness. This is what happens. Look at it. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. That word root, and that root comes from a seed. And that's how it gets started, beloved. A seed is planted, and a seed is watered, and a seed is tended to, and a seed is fed. And you know what happens after all that takes place? It begins to grow. Now let me tell you some seeds of bitterness. The seeds of death sometimes will cause bitterness. Some of you love dies, and then you get mad at God. There's the seeds of denial where you try to maybe get a loan or a promotion or a position, and you get denied, and then you blame God. They didn't care enough to pray for me. I asked the pastor to pray, and he forgot on a Wednesday night to mention my prayer request, and blah, 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 and we blame everybody. Then there's the seed of divorce. Beloved, listen to me. The local church ministers to divorced people. Amen? Amen. You know what God says about it, but we minister to divorced people. And I'm telling you, there's sometimes people that are sitting in this room. You had high hopes for your marriage at one time, and then somebody became unfaithful, or they wanted their quote-unquote freedom, and that's a bunch of garbage, by the way. Or maybe my very favorite one, well, you just don't love me anymore. And so one partner gets bitter at the other and spends the rest of their life in an angry mess. And the results, the Bible says, many be defiled. So tragic, so destructive, not just the divorce, beloved, but the bitter aftermath of it all. Oh, it's awful. The seeds of betrayal, the seeds of belittlement, the seeds of bad experience in our life. Have you ever said, or has anybody ever told you, life is not fair? I wouldn't let my children say, that's not fair. I never let my kids say that because I didn't want them growing up thinking that there was anything fair about life whatsoever. Amen. Nothing is fair about this life except the God who deals justly with us. Amen. Our God's fair. Oh, listen, beloved, hear me tonight. It's the seed of bitterness that'll become a root in you, and bitterness just takes over your life like a vine root, and then it grows and it grows, and then you become down and out, goes down and out in every direction. And once that root of bitterness, beloved, gets down in you, the Bible declares, it will sprout up, it will spring up out of you, and people notice that, and it shows in most every area of our life. I see people sitting at stoplights. You've seen it too. They're sitting there. I mean, they're gritting their teeth. I don't know if they're listening to some headbanging music or what they're doing or who just chewed them out. I've been sitting at a stoplight before, just sitting there minding my own business, drinking a double D. Can I get an amen? I'm just sitting there drinking. I'm sitting there. You know? And then a car comes in front of me and it just turning left right in front of me. And that person locks eyes with me and they're going, I'm not kidding you, man. I'm thinking, my Lord, come on, what's going to happen any minute, you know? You know what's probably happened? Look at me. They're probably bitter. Somebody's ate them alive. Some kind of awfulness has happened in their life. And beloved, it shows in every area of their Christian, every area in their life. Their family suffers because of it. Their job suffers because of it. If they happen to darken the door of a church, their church suffers because of it. I'm telling you, beloved, there's a great and high cost for bitterness, and that's what I'm going to talk to you about tonight, and I'm done. Bitterness, listen to me. Bitterness will never leave you where it found you. Let me say that again to you. Bitterness will never leave you where it found you. It'll knock you down. It'll drag you into a morass of despair and misery, and to the point where you just about can't get out of it yourself. And I say just about because God's able to do anything. But I'm telling you, beloved, you need God to get you out of it. You cannot drag yourself out of bitterness yourself. You cannot lift yourself up by the bootstraps, as we are so wont to say to people. You can't do that. You're not supposed to do that. You need God to help you with these things, and so do I. Listen, the high cost of bitterness is the failure of the grace of God. Look at that. Look at that statement. It's astounding. It's amazing, isn't it? Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. I believe there's people tonight who allow themselves to get into such a shape that they won't even let God help them. Look at me now. Some of you are looking down. They've gotten into such a shape that they won't even let God help them. They won't do it. I've met people, and so have you, that would not get saved because it meant they'd have to give up their bitter heart and forgive somebody. I've met people like that. I've met Christians that were so bitter at one another that they missed God's will for their life because they were literally too bitter to let God or to hear God speak to them. I ministered to a lot of inmates over the years. The only other town in Michigan that has as many prisons as Jackson does is Ionia, right? I've ministered to a lot of prisoners, and I've had prisoners say things like this to me. I can't get saved because I'm going to kill somebody when I get out of prison. People say that. It's amazing. I mean, they've said that. We think that's pretty bad, and we think that's awful. And some of you just kind of even shuddered when I said that. But yet I know believers that are so bitter and they're so hateful that they're guilty of this very self-same curse in their life, as it were, this hatred and murder thing. Beloved, it kills the Christian spirit. It kills the Christian ethic. It kills our life. It renders us absolutely, categorically useless to the God of heaven. Do you want to fail of the grace of God? I don't think there's anybody in this room that wants to do what verse 15 says, to fail of the grace of God. No, beloved, God's grace does not fail. It cannot fail. Can I get an amen? But you know what happens? Look at me. We render the grace of God pointless and vain because of bitterness. We do that. You know what else it'll do to you, friend? The cost of bitterness? It'll cost you the fruit of the Spirit. Right. Everybody hear me? It'll cost you the fruit of the Spirit. Now, we understand and know this is nine words of one thing. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not your fruit. You can't work the fruit of the Spirit up. Did you hear what I just said? It's not your spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's an outgrowth and an outworking of the Spirit of God in your life. You cannot build these aspects into your life. You can't build these principles into your life. It's by you responding to the Spirit of God, then He produces this fruit in you. Everybody got that? And all God's people said? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I want you to know, beloved, this wonderful fruit cannot work out in our lives if our heart is so sore and our spirit is so bruised and we're so bitter at something or someone. It just can't happen. My brother talked about David here just a little bit ago, and we're thinking about Jonathan and his father Saul, and how despitefully that Saul used David and how horrible it was. But David stayed sweet in all of that rather than getting bitter and rather than getting angry. And he had the opportunity to kill Saul a couple of times. But beloved, he feared the God of heaven and wasn't bitter against a man that did him such injustice. I'll tell you something else, beloved. It'll cost you trouble if you let bitterness be part of your life. It'll cause you trouble everywhere you go, every place you render yourself, because sooner or later, sometime or another, if you leave the Loomis Park Baptist Church, or if you move away from the town because you don't want to see somebody at Walmart or Myers, I'm right here to tell you, beloved, that new crowd that you're with will most definitely do something someday to anger you, and the pattern begins again. It will not stop. And in fact, beloved, it'll be exacerbated. It'll be worse. It'll be bigger and grander. And it'll be on a more holy, unholy, wretched scale than it was before, because it snowballs in our life. Listen to me as well, beloved, the awful cost. I suppose one of the worst costs of this, outside of the fact that we do despite to the grace of God, is that other people are defiled because of our bitterness. Other people. Nobody sins alone. Say amen. Nobody sins alone. Our bitterness will affect and damage somebody else. It'll damage our relationships. It'll damage our familial relationships. It'll hurt your children. It'll hurt your grandchildren. I'm telling you, I can't think of anything more horrendous than a grandparent that is bitter and can't love their own grandkids because of their bitterness. I know parents that do that to their children. I know old people that do that to people. I know young people that do that to people. I've been guilty of it in my own stinking flesh. And let's just say amen about that right now. You've been the same way. I'm telling you, beloved, we better deal with it. And I'm going to give you the only cure for it. Aren't you glad there's a cure? There is a balm in Gilead. Amen? Aren't you glad about that tonight? Aren't you glad that there's a physician there? His name is Dr. Jesus. He's never lost a patient. Amen. He never has. Oh, the Bible gives us the wonderful, wonderful cure for bitterness. I want you to please turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. And you know these words. I promise you, you do. Your good pastor has certainly taught you these things. And I'm not trying to teach you something you don't know. I'm trying to help and hold up what your beloved pastor teaches you on a regular basis in these things and remind you of your responsibility. And the Bible declares, let no corrupt communication, verse 29 of Ephesians 4, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness. Come on, you read that with me. How about that? Let's read down to verse 32. Everybody together in the King James Bible. Here we go. Starting with the first word of verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I'm not a gardener, and I think anybody that is a gardener is just flat weird. But I like the results of a garden. Amen? How many have had a Mater sandwich this summer? Toasted with mayonnaise on it. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Maybe, and if you really want to even make it better, a big old hunk of bacon on that baby. Can I get, hey, listen, we don't worry about the, when it gets down to bacon, we don't worry about BLT, it's just B. Can I get an amen? Beloved, hear me now, look at me. We got to get to the root. If you're going to kill something, a weed, a virus, as it were, you got to get to the root. We can't cover this up anymore. We just can't, beloved. We can't cover this stuff with a spiritual bandage or take another mood or mind-altering pill that literally erases our thinking so that we don't deal with the root of our problem, which is sin. If you cover up a wound rather than treating it, eventually that's going to be gangrenous. And you're going to have to cut that appendage off. Amen? That thing's going to die. I'm telling you right now, this applies to bitterness tonight. There was a man some years ago, my brothers know this story, and his name was Jerry. I'm going to say his last name. His name was Jerry Boswell. Jerry Boswell, to my estimation, did some horrendousness to my family. Whether he did or not, it's irrelevant to the story. I got bitter and angry at him. There was a time in my life, and I was an assistant pastor at the Temple Baptist Church in Kalamazoo, Michigan, many, many years ago. And I can remember I'd just gotten there and I just started into that ministry and God was blessing. You know why, beloved? Listen, God does not bless men. He blesses obedience. Come on, amen? He blesses obedience. He blesses following the Word of God. And I can remember that night, and I'm almost done. My good pastor, Herb Hutchinson, got up there, and he was preaching through the book of Ephesians, and we had just gotten there. And he began to preach out of chapter number 4, and God the Holy Ghost just began to work on me. This man, Jerry, had done horrendousness to my family, to my opinion. And I'm telling you what, it was an awful thing to my opinion. And I began to get bitter and angry and hateful. And in fact, I even thought in my mind if there was a way to kill him and get it over with and just get him out of my hair, I could get it done. And oh, I'm telling you, that night at the Temple Baptist Church on a Wednesday night, just like this one, God the Holy Ghost said to me, "Boy, I'm telling you right now, you don't get this right, I'll never use you. I won't use you. I will not use a filthy vessel." I'm not kidding you, Pastor Rich. I was sitting about three rows back on the middle off to that side. And it was the Spirit of God and me in that room and that Bible. I got to the altar. I said, "Lord, I'll do whatever you tell me to do." I got up from the altar and it hadn't been healed yet. I'd put the bandage on. Amen? I went home and all night long, Russ, I tossed and turned and I said, "What am I going to do about this? I mean, he's way down there and how can I deal with this and what am I going to do? And he don't even care if I'm bitter or not. He's going on with his life and I've got this junk in me. It's killing me, killing me." I sat down that night. I didn't know what else to do. We didn't have internet then. There was no such thing as that, no cell phones. I sat down and actually took a piece of paper and a pen out and an envelope and I began to write a letter to him. And I told him, "Jerry, I've been bitter at you all these years. I mean, you did this and this to me and our family, and I've been so angry at you, and I hated you, and I want you to forgive me, and I'm so sorry I've been like this, and I want to be a servant of God, and I'm sick of this being in my soul and my spirit. Please, Jerry, forgive me. Please help me, and please just, I don't even remember everything I said. I don't remember it all." I sent that letter off. I never heard a word from Jerry. Not a word. But you know what he did do, Pastor Rich? He wrote my dad and asked him to forgive him. My dad. I never heard a word. My dad never even told me about it for years. But I'm going to tell you what, when I got done writing that letter, I laid my heavy burden at the cross, and I went free. Oh, sinner, I went free. Amen?
Amen.
I saw Jerry Boswell some years ago. He walked in the auditorium of the LaGrange Baptist Church, where my dad pastored, and we grew up as boys. He walked in that room, and I saw him, and he saw me. And he's an old man now, and I'm kind of an old man. I saw him, and he saw me, and no words were even exchanged. We met about right here in the pulpit area, the area here, and we hugged. No words were exchanged at first. He just looked at me. He said, "Darren, I'm so proud of what you're doing for Jesus." He didn't know what I was doing for Jesus. But he said, "I'm proud of what you're doing for Jesus." Beloved, I didn't say forgive me again because it had already been forgiven, right? You don't re-ask that stuff. You let it go, right?
Right.
I just said, "I'm so glad to see you, brother. I love you."
Yes.
Now, I'm going to tell you, if you knew me, these guys know me better than anybody in this room. If you knew me, the way God knows me, you wouldn't even come and listen to me, I promise you. If you knew about me, what God knows about me, my Lord. But God knew about all that. And God washed it away, and the bitterness was gone. If he walked in those doors tonight, I wish he would. I'd hug his neck. He's down in Florida. I prayed for him during that hurricane. They got blasted down there. But he's down in Florida, and I'm just telling you tonight, beloved, the cure for it all is to forgive. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice.
Right.
Malice is the attitude of getting even.
That's right. Yeah.
And you know the only person that can do that for you and me? The sweet Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
He's not going to force it.
That's right.
Nope. You can walk out of here the same bitter wreck you came walking in.
Yep. Yeah.
Or you can walk out of here free.
Amen.
Some of you need freedom tonight. I promise you, you do. And my precious, precious Savior and the dear Holy Ghost that loves you can help you with that tonight. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And all God's people said,
amen.
And where sin did abound, what?
Grace
did much more abound. Amen. Let's not fail of the grace of God. Let's let it go tonight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, heart